everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be a slimy friend of ours, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful Amazon River Dolphin. This, of course, is a very special listener episode dedicated to Tiffany and to Jill. Thank you for requesting this awesome creature. And also a big shout out to the Patreon crew who actually voted for this episode. This one is very special because this is the last episode of season 7. Can you guys believe that we have been on nearly 175 adventures together? I am so grateful for your listenership. As I have said many times before, this podcast is nothing without you. And as I have boasted many times before, you guys are the best audience ever. If you would like to vote on future episodes and get access to one exclusive episode every week, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts. There is also just a Patreon link in the description that you can click on. A huge shout out to George Flad for the ambiances used in today's episode. His work is also linked, and I encourage you to check him out. And now, let us begin to wind down a little bit. If this is your first time listening, I welcome you with open arms to our animal podcast family. If you are returning, you know exactly what I am going to be asking of you. I have 3 primary exhortations for you. The first is to put on some clothes that you don't mind getting a little bit wet. We are certainly going to be needing those for where we are going today. My second encouragement is perhaps the most important, and that is to realize perhaps where you are carrying tension. It could be in the head, in the neck, in the shoulders. Regardless of where it is, my exhortation to you is the same. Do your best to relax whatever it is that you're tensing. Here, before our adventures together, we like to become jello. You can bring up in your mind whatever flavor or color of jello that you'd like and give your best Oscar award-winning impression of it. Do such a good impression, in fact, that you can almost see the tears in Leonardo DiCaprio's eyes as you pry away from him yet another Oscar. It is also possible you don't know where you carry tension. If that is the case, you can start from the bottom of your feet in your mind and just scan all the way up to the top of the head. First relax the feet, then the calves, then the knees, then the legs, and up and up. My third and final exhortation to you is that you give your mind permission to wander and journey with me into the Amazon River, where the Amazon River Dolphin resides. What an absolutely amazing place. It is every springtime when the rains begin to fall and to fall in South America that the Amazon River and all of its tributaries begin to spill their banks. A consequence of this is a kind of wonderland. Thousands and thousands of square miles of rainforest are flooded. What was just a few months ago a wonderful rainforest has turned into a surreal, tree-canopied sea. This environment is one of dreams, and I think it is only appropriate that we learn about an equally amazing creature, the Amazon River Dolphin. When I use the word river dolphin, I am speaking of any of the 6 species of small, oftentimes freshwater aquatic mammals that are related to whales. The different species of river dolphin are found in rivers of South Central Asia, China, South America, as well as the coastal waters of Argentina, Brazil, and Uruguay. All of the six species, including the Amazon river dolphin, is distinguished by their very long beaks and rounded foreheads, making them look significantly different from other dolphins like the bottlenose dolphin. The creature we are learning about today is also called the Boto, or the pink dolphin. They are actually the largest species of any river dolphin. It is common here in the Amazon River, but it is also seen in the Orinoco River basins. Their scientific name is Inia geoffrensis. Usually, in the scientific name, we can learn much about what the creature is. There will be Latin or Greek roots attached to the word, allowing us to mine out the creature just by its name. But in the case of this wonderful dolphin, close to nothing is known about the meaning or significance of their scientific name. This species was first described by a Henri Marie Ducretet in the year 1817. It doesn't seem as if he has any connections to somebody named Jeff, and the word Inia has no clear ancient Greek or Latin roots. The only significant part of the word Inia is that it is sometimes used as a Maori feminine name. It translates to something like body of water. And so in the case of this scientific name, it may actually be a first on this show that we have no idea, but sometimes shrugging your shoulders is the right thing to do. The Amazon river dolphin is a carnivore. That means that they eat primarily animal material. They will grow up to 8 feet in length, weighing up to 450 pounds. This is no small boy. The females will be slightly smaller than the males, a phenomenon that is quite common in the animal kingdom, and the young, instead of being that pinkish color that we have come to associate with them, they are gray. This animal, like many other dolphins, is very agile, and think about it, they must be. Out in the ocean, there aren't that many obstacles near the surface, but here in this flooded rainforest, it has its own little obstacle course of trees and rocks and all sorts of things. In this green wonderland, there are branches sticking out all over the place, and while it might be magnificent to behold for us from this boat, it can most certainly be difficult to traverse, especially at high speeds. Keep in mind that I will sometimes use the word Boto instead of the Amazon River dolphin, because that is what they are called, and the name is shorter. The Boto has that awesome smile, which complements their big, bulbous foreheads. And while many know this creature to be a pink river dolphin, not all of them are pink. It is the males that can be pink, but not all of them are. But why in the world can this creature be pink? It is postulated to actually be scar tissue. The presence of this abundance of scar tissue would have to mean that they engaged in some pretty rough, playful behavior, or that they fight pretty frequently. They would get wounds on their skin from that rough housing or fighting, and as the wounds heal, that pink color will replace their gray skin. It would make sense of why it is the males that are pink, given that these kind of rough housing behaviors are more common among males, but the brighter the pink color, the more attractive the males are to females. At the very least, this is the case during mating season. This would make sense. It means that they are pretty strong, as they have gotten into many scuffles amongst each other, and so they are a worthy mate. But let us circle back to their anatomy. The reason they can maneuver through all of these branches and trees is because they have an unfused neck vertebrae. This allows them to bend their neck upwards at a 90-degree angle. This might seem like a small thing, but in tight spaces, this really comes in handy. The long snout of the boto is used for rooting through river mud for different kinds of crustaceans. It is also used like a kind of needle nose plier, where they can stick their thin noses into some branches after some small fish that are hiding within. The reason for that big bulbous head is for the mechanism of echolocation. It allows them to navigate and find prey in these murky, muddy, and generally dark waters. Let us all remind ourselves once again that we are just in a rainforest that has a lot of water. There is a ton of debris to navigate through, and so echolocation will naturally supplement their vision. Like all dolphins, they have powerful flippers and tail flukes, but instead of a dorsal fin, they have a modified little hump. One might ask, what is the purpose of such a hump? The boto can often be seen swimming upside down, a strange behavior without context. It is believed by researchers that the humps on their back rub across the river's floor, helping them to locate prey. When the visibility is this low, they will use everything, echolocation, even the hump on their back. You may notice, looking at the boto, that they have some small eyes. Frequently, animals with such eyes will have poor eyesight. But do not let the Amazon River dolphin deceive you here. They have fantastic eyesight. And given their neck vertebrae, they can turn their heads in all sorts of directions, allowing them to observe everything from all angles. If there is anyone that is going to be able to catch prey in this sort of an environment, it's the boto. One fact that is probably not very surprising is that these creatures are amazingly intelligent. They actually have unusually large brains. Just for comparison, they have about 40% more brain capacity than we do proportionally. Intelligence is oftentimes mixed with curiosity, and this is most certainly the case for the boto. It is quite common to see them interacting with people, and they have even been documented helping fishermen by sort of shepherding the fish into the net. If we were all going to go on some sort of tour together, we could see them getting really close to our canoes, jumping and showing off. And if you aren't careful, they'll even take your oars from you. But they will do all of this without showing aggressive behavior, more of a playful thing. They will communicate with one another using high-frequency sonar clicks. By making these clicks, they can actually build a three-dimensional echogram of their surroundings in their head. That is where, once again, that awesome bulb on their head comes in handy. When we see these creatures here, it is common to see them in groups of 20 members or more, depending on the time of year. If the females are pregnant or have given birth recently to newborns, they can be seen going in groups looking for their next meal together. But apart from these times, they usually swim alone, so they are frequently solitary, but they can be social if they have to be. It seems as though they could be social with humans all year long, but with each other, not so much. These animals are not the most picky eaters. During the daytime, when they are very active, they will eat mostly of what falls into their mouth. This helps given their environment where there is so much diversity. They'll enjoy a diet of more than 40 species of fish, turtles, crabs, and shrimp. They actually have the equivalent of molar teeth just like we do, likely due to this great variance in their diet. These amazing dolphins use their teeth to grind up food before swallowing. something that is a bit of a rarity for many marine creatures. This animal is considered a mythical creature by many. In South American folklore, they are often depicted in ways that are not so great, usually as some kind of trickster or deceiver. One legend claims that these dolphins will morph into handsome men, actually using hats to cover up their blowholes, these sneaky little guys. But if there is any creature that would try to do this, it would be one as intelligent as the Boto. Another legend says that if you go swimming alone, these dolphins may whisk you away to a magical underwater city. While some may see this as an amazing experience, this has actually caused many to not even go near the water between dusk and dawn. It also caused some to be so cautious so as to not enter any water bodies where they are found. Another manifestation of their intelligence is that in courtship displays, male Botos will sometimes beat the water with branches or grasses that they're holding in their mouth, and have even been seen to hold live turtles outside of the water to impress females. Females will give birth to one calf after a pregnancy of about 11 to 15 months, quite a long time. The young dolphins will be nursed for more than a year, staying close to their mothers in hunting and everything else. Now let us move to their name. What does it mean, or where does it come from? For the most part, I think the Amazon and the river part of their name is pretty intuitive, so let us cover just the word dolphin. This word is used to describe a diverse group of marine mammals, also including the porpoise. We have been using this word since the mid-14th century, so quite a long time. It is an import from French, which takes it from Latin and then to Greek, delphis. And the word in ancient Greek actually means womb, as in W-O-M-B. This is possibly referring to the fact that dolphins bear live young, but we don't know for sure. Now it is time for the dad joke portion of the episode. The portion that you guys love and the portion that grinds me to a fine powder. Check this out. If dolphins didn't live in the ocean or in rivers and lived on land instead, which country would they live in? Finland. You know a joke is good when you feel the need to apologize, but I am going to save my apology this time because on Spotify I asked you guys to give me your dad jokes, and I think that this is the only time I'm kind of grateful that we are only reading three together. For how many more dad jokes can the soul bear? For those of you who are unaware, on Spotify, I ask you guys questions that vary week to week, and I encourage all of you to respond because I get to interact with three of you every week. Eno kicks it off with this joke. The pebble toad got scared. A bolder animal would stand and fight. Eno actually finishes the joke with an apology, asking for a clean slate. So you know that one was good because, just like mine, Eno felt the need to apologize straight afterwards. Rena replies asking, why don't cats play poker in the jungle? Too many cheetahs. My stomach hurts, my ears are beginning to ring, you guys know exactly what you're doing. Pink Red Panda then says, check this out. Two bats are hanging upside down. One asks the other, do you remember your worst day? He responds, the day I had diarrhea. See, that one is just straight up funny. It's clever, it's witty, so I am not sure if this is really a dad joke. I don't feel any nausea, but I still really enjoyed it anyway. Again, thank you guys for all the submissions. It is always so fun to interact with you. All joking aside, all of your jokes were good. Dad jokes for me are a real love-hate thing. Moving on to the review of the episode on Apple Podcasts, Sid M. Starkey wrote all the way from the United States of America, and Sid said, "I hope you continue this forever. This was my first podcast I listened to. I don't use this podcast to sleep, but I listen to it when I get ready in the morning. I love animals and learning new things, all while calming my mind during different parts of my day. Thank you for what you do. Looking forward to the day you hopefully do a sandhill crane." Thank you, Sid, for your kind words. I'm so glad that this was the first podcast you listened to and that you stuck around as a part of the Animal Podcast family. I am sorry to break it to the listeners of other shows, but our community here is just better. The Sandhill Crane is also a great suggestion, and if you haven't already, Sid, make sure you submit that through the website too, just in case I forget. And if you are a listener on Apple Podcasts, leaving a review like Sid did is one of the biggest ways you can give back. I have a great appreciation for those of you who have done so already, and I look forward to reading your reviews. If you would like to request an animal on Relax with Animal Facts, you can do so by going to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and going to the Submit and Animal Request tabs. To reach out to me, Steph Wolf, for any other reason, you can do so by sending an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com or by sending a message to the Instagram relaxwithanimalfacts. I encourage you to come listen on the Patreon. In addition to intro-free episodes every week, you get an exclusive episode, so we actually do two adventures together instead of one. That is four extra adventures every month for $1 a month. If I could make the cost lower, I would. Patreon just simply doesn't let me. A huge shout out to George Flad for the ambiances that were used in today's episode. His work is linked in the description and you should check him out. The facts that were used in this episode came from aquaexpeditions.com, machutravelperu.com, whaletales.org, britannica.com, and etimonline.com. What an amazing animal we have learned about today. The Amazon River dolphin is one of the more strange creatures we have covered. I don't mean strange in a derogatory sense, just simply out of the ordinary. I mean, come on. It is a pink dolphin that swims in an underwater forest. I think that if I could be any animal, the pink river dolphin would be pretty up there, darting around in an underwater rainforest, doing little jumps, holding turtles out of the water to impress mates. It all seems to me to be a pretty good life. But I would like to stress that while this animal might seem out of the ordinary, every animal without exception that we have learned about is unique and boasts its own amazing characteristics. There are over 2 million species, so we have ahead of us potentially another million adventures. We have gone through over 170 together, and I again extend to you, dear listener, my sincere gratitude. You make hosting this show a joy for me, and I, as a host, am most fortunate to have such an audience join me every week. You guys make the show, there is no doubt about it. Normally, after every season, we take a little bit of a break, a week or two, but there are so many animals that I am excited to learn about, I don't think we'll do that break this time. So I am going to be seeing all of you in season 8 with the next episode with the next animal. Take care.